championship on the line right here. He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Hello and welcome to 4th and 5, your Longhorn Nation podcast. I'm your host, Will Baser, and I'm joined alongside by Darius Terrell. You guys listen to the Hornscast channel, which you guys can find on any podcasting platform out there. Today we're going to be going over the coaching drama that continues to happen at Texas as the Longhorns search for their assistant coaches. They found three. We'll talk about who's been hired and who they're interviewing for the open positions. Then we're going to get into all of the elite prospects that are coming in for the 2020 and 2021 class, and what Longhorn fans should expect out of this 2021 class, and some of these big names that are going to be on campus. Darius, man, how you been?
Hey, what's going on? Everything's good. Surviving, getting through another week. Today's Friday, Junior. Tomorrow's Friday, Will. I'm in a good spirits. I'm in a good mood. What's going on? What's happening with you?
You know what I mean? I'm sad, though, dude. College football is over for another 9 months. It's just the longest offseason.
That just means it's basketball season. That's what it means for me. And then right after basketball season, Will, there's track season. It doesn't stop. And as soon as track season ends, we're right back into 7-on-7 camp season. So it'll come quick. It'll come quicker before you even realize, man.
Well, I'll tell you what it is,
though.
You
got baseball coming up, you know? So, hey, we got other stuff. We got stuff to pacify us.
Also hockey season. But I'll tell you what it really is. It's recruiting season. Oh, shut up, dude. I love hockey.
It is recruiting season.
It's recruiting season.
No, hey, hockey in person I mess with. I like hockey in person. It's just on TV. I can't do it. But let's stay on topic. You talk back about hockey.
But it's recruiting season. And it's not just recruiting season for recruits. Tom Herman's trying to recruit some coaches to Texas. And it's been a little more difficult than Longhorn fans would hope for. But he's gotten some pretty good names to come in and interview. And right now, some of the big names that have been thrown out there for the open positions, because they've gotten their wide receiver guy. We'll talk about that. They got the cornerback. They got their linebacker. They held on to Stan Drayton. They kept Herb Hand, and they kept Oscar Giles. So now what they're looking for is another defensive lineman coach and in a new tight ends coach. So they brought in Frank Oakham to talk about possibly coming to Texas. It looked like he wasn't going to go to Texas until Baylor announced yesterday that they're going to be taking Dave Aranda. And so now there's another wrench thrown into this machine and say, hey, Frank Oakham, hey, maybe you want to take another look at Texas. Because since Joey McGuire is not going to be there, he's not going to be the defensive coordinator there, give Texas another look. Now, we don't know whether or not he's going to be retained at Baylor, but who does he feel more comfortable and where does he feel more comfortable coaching?
Yeah, like you were saying, it's now it's a fluid situation with the news coming down that Baylor's hiring LSU offensive coordinator Dave Aranda. Folks are right now in wait and see mode. I think we saw the campaign last week on social media from folks in the Baylor program, those players and folks around the program campaigning for assistant head coach Joey McGuire to get the job. That didn't happen. It remains to be seen if he'll be retained at Baylor. Coach Aranda, based on reports that we've seen or that I've seen online, said he's bringing his own offensive coordinator. He's bringing his own defensive coordinator. And usually those coordinators, those guys have an idea of position coaches that they want to come with them. So it's a fluid situation right now, and a situation that, you know, could have ended up with Baylor promoting McGuire and McGuire and Oakham both staying at Baylor could now possibly turn into a situation where both of those guys end up at Texas, you know, and we'll get into the next position later, but it's a fluid situation. We'll play this thing by ear to see what happens over the next few days, but it could be Frank Oakham and Joey McGuire could be big time additions to the staff. It makes a lot of sense for so many different reasons.
Oh yeah. And Joey McGuire, back when he was searching for a college to land in, he was one of the Texas top picks for potentially coming in and being their tight end coach. Now Baylor ended up taking him away and he absolutely blew up. I remember hearing about Joey McGuire at Texas and getting really excited because of what he was able to do at Cedar Hill and the dynasty that he created there, the ability that he brings with his charisma that we talked about last week. Now, imagine that at Texas.
I can vouch for Coach McGuire firsthand experience. He was the coach at Cedar Hill, the football coach when I was in high school. Played against him for 4 years. We never spoke. Obviously, he's not one of those coaches that's talking to other players during the game or anything. But when I came back later, after the college days, I was looking for a job. I was at a Cedar Hill basketball game, and I finally got a chance to shake his hand and look him in the eyes and meet him. And the guy remembered me from being an athlete and everything, and you know, was just the nicest guy ever. He's a guy that puts you at ease with his. It's kind of similar to Mac Brown, kind of from the first time you meet him, he's a guy that remembers your name and everything. He makes you feel like he values what you have to say. He values your time, and he connects with people. So, yeah, if somehow Texas could get him here on this staff, he would be that connection at DFW that's been lacking during Tom Herman's tenure.
Right, and since this is the last dead period for the final three weekends leading up to National Signing Day, Texas is really wanting to fill some of these spots, like with Frank Oakham at the defensive tackle position or your tight end position, whoever it might be. And Sean Snyder was one of the guys who was thrown out there as a name for a guy who had recently been interviewed at Texas. And last position he was Kansas State as a special teams coordinator and a director of football operations. Now you kind of try to bring him in as a tight end coach and really more of a special teams guy, which would work very well. I mean, Texas has really taken a huge step towards special teams and making that a big focus next year with bringing in potentially Sean Snyder. Then you also have Andre Coleman, who we'll talk about in a second, and Coleman Hutzler, who was a special teams coordinator at South Carolina. With those three guys on staff and another quality control guy coming in to be your special teams guy, that's a lot of emphasis you're putting on that special teams role. And giving a guy like Sean Snyder, who is the son of Bill Snyder, a chance to be a tight ends coach, which is not a very coaching-heavy position, right? You don't need like a really great coach in that position. But having a guy like that on your staff could help you out quite a lot in the future.
Yeah, just talking about special teams. Special teams, what game was that where we had the muff punt earlier in the year? I don't even remember the specific game, but their special teams might have cost
every game, basically.
Yeah, Texas didn't have a return threat until the bowl game this season, and then I think Brandon Jones had one long return this year. Kickoff return, the game was non-existent. I don't remember Texas blocking the kick or blocking the punt this year. I remember growing up in the early 2000s, Texas was known for, I think they led the country. There was them and Virginia Tech with Beamer ball, with block punts and block kicks. And it's the third phase of the game. So it's about time that, it was made a priority and it was something that was emphasized because it can be the difference. We saw Texas, I think Texas played maybe what, 7 or 8 1 score games this year. The year before that, it was the same thing. Special teams, that's the difference. That's a 3-point, 6-point difference. Field position, that can swing the game either way. That can be the difference between, say, a 10-win season will and an 8-win season. So it's exciting to see them placing so much emphasis on it. And like you said, Coach Snyder's, you know, he's the son of legendary Coach Bill Snyder. If he were to be the guy, he would be a guy that would be tasked with spending the majority of his time focusing on the special teams. And by all accounts, he's really good at it. If he does not end up being the guy and ends up, you know, another guy comes in, whether it be Coach McGuire or whoever, and we'll get into it later on. But they, like you mentioned, they will likely, yes, assume special teams role. Or, and we'll talk about this guy later, the linebacker coach they brought in, he has a background on special teams as well.
Right. I mean, if Sean Snyder comes in, he was an All-American punter at Kansas State. Your special teams are set. I think that's for sure. That's one thing that you're going to know going into next year is, hey, special teams is A-okay at Texas. But we don't know about the other positions. There's a lot of question marks around some of the other guys who are coming in. And the first big question mark is Jay Volai. And I don't know if I'm saying his name correctly. I can't find a position. I can't find a video where they say his name. But he does sound like he's just the most hoarse talker I've ever heard. It just sounds like he has been yelling his entire life and hasn't given his voice like a second of rest. But I hear that's what he's like on the football field. He's a yeller. He's got a lot of energy as a coach. So that's something that you can expect out of Jay Volai, a lot of energy from him. But when it comes to his actual resume, there are a lot of question marks with this hire. He's a guy from Rutgers, right? Seems like a little bit of a comfort hire for Chris Ash. maybe the thought is that Jay Vilai takes over the cornerbacks and he's sort of the coaching, you know, the players coach. He's a guy who be more of a recruiting threat. And then you have Chris Ash, who can be an actual developer. But here's the thing that most people don't realize is that he was a trainer at Dallas for 2 years, right?
Yeah, he owns his own training facility in the Metroplex in the Southlake area. And he did it for 3 years after he finished his playing days at Wisconsin. So, no, he's a guy that's got contacts. He's worked out professional athletes. He's worked with collegiate athletes. He's worked with high school athletes. And I've got a post up on the website on TFB Texas, if any of you listening are subscribers. And I've got some tweets up that I was able to pick out during the week from different people. And he's got folks like Clay Mack and folks like Footwork King praising the hire. And you ask, who are those guys? Well, Clay Mack is a guy that's in the Dallas area. He's huge with professional athletes, college athletes, high school football players.
One of the top guys in the nation.
Yeah, one of the top guys in the nation. And some of the best athletes in the United States come do and work and train for him. So for him to be a guy that's campaigning on your side and has positive things to say about a guy that's on your staff that can't do anything but help when it comes time to recruit those kids that he's coming in contact with. Same thing for Footwork King, whereas Clay Mack is the guy that's more in the Dallas area. Footwork King is a guy in the Houston area. And he's a guy that's been accused by Texas fans in the past of maybe, you know, not being a huge fan of Texas. Well, he's a huge fan of Jay Vilai. So I think we can put that to rest. And then I've got guys like Kevin Mathis, former Dallas Cowboy Kevin Mathis, who played 10 years in the NFL, talking about what a great hire Jay Vilai is, and congratulations. And then lastly, the last example is Terrence Kane. Who is Terrence Kane? Terrence Kane is the father of 2019 top running back recruit Noah Kane, who Texas was the bridesmaid for. And who knows, maybe if Jay Vilai was on staff last year, maybe Terrence Kane was wearing a burnt orange uniform this past season. So it's great to have guys that have connections to people and can get into places where you didn't previously have access. And on top of being a young guy, he's only 32, 33 years old. Vilai is a guy that played at Colleyville Heritage High School, where he was an all-state player. He played in the Big Ten at Wisconsin, where he was an all-conference player. And, you know, when folks talking about him, well, his resume, he doesn't have much. That's true. But he's a guy that was. So if you mind me getting to get into it real quick about his background.
Dude, go ahead.
So he played at Colleyville Heritage. From there, he went on to Wisconsin. He was a 3-star recruit in high school, went on to Wisconsin, started for 3 seasons. He was all Big Ten selection his final 2 seasons, second team all Big Ten. From there, he went on, did the 3 years training in the Metroplex, before he was then hired by the University of Georgia in a role that's not too dissimilar from what Brian Carrington does for Texas right now. He had a quality control title, but prior to this past offseason, Brian Carrington didn't have a director of recruiting title. He got that title because folks started trying to poach him from Texas. So in 2017, Jay Vilai was at Georgia from 2016 to 2017. In 2017, Georgia had the number one class in the country. There was a time during that recruiting process where Jay Vilai was on the road, just like Brian Carrington was used on the road as that extra assistant on the recruiting trail. So he's a guy that was used and he was instrumental in helping bring in the number one class in the country for one of the prominent programs in the country who play in the premier conference in the country. So he's a guy that's been at the top and he's had a big role at such a young age. I think that's one, that's a big sign right there at the University of Georgia. That's Kirby Smart. From Georgia, he was then hired on to the Kansas City Chiefs in the same role. My question was, who the heck did he know on the Chiefs? Why are people from the NFL checking down in the college ranks for a quality control coach, Will? That's a positive to me. Somebody's heard about this guy. Somebody sees something in this guy. So he spends a year in Kansas City before getting hired from there and ending up at Rutgers, back under Chris Ash. And by the way, he played for Ash at Wisconsin. So Ash, when he gets hired, he gets his opportunity as a head coach at Rutgers. He goes back and gets this guy, Jay Vilai, that has no coaching experience, and he wants him to be his cornerbacks coach. That's how highly he thinks of that guy. Chris Ash gets another chance now at the University of Texas as defensive coordinator. Who does he go get? Jay Vilai. Okay, and every coach, and again, give me one second. Everybody's talking about experience, but there's not a single great coach out there that you see today that at some point, somebody had to give him a chance. Somebody had to see something in them. Chris Ash is clearly a huge believer in this guy, and he's not the only one based on the stuff I'm seeing on social media, based on Georgia hiring him, based on the Kansas City Chiefs hiring him as a quality control coach. So I just think there's a lot to like about the guy. The paper trail, if you follow it, says that this could be one that blows up and could be huge in the future. Sorry for being so long-winded.
Right, and one of the major... No, that makes sense. It makes sense. One of the major reasons that I'm kind of looking forward to Jay Vilai is that Chris Ash wasn't tied to the hip with Jay Vilai. Jay Vilai was actually one of Chris Ash's last choices when it came to his cornerback coach. So, because his cornerback coach, when he was at Rutgers, got taken away.
Mm-hmm.
He goes ahead, picks up Jay Vilai, and Jay Vilai must have done something at Rutgers to impress him so that out of all of the coaches he had underneath him at Rutgers, he's the only one he picks to bring over with him to Texas. He's the only guy. The only guy who really got a chance to come to Texas. So that speaks highly of what he can do. Now, we know that he is a recruiting rainmaker, but the argument for him as a developer is that time that he has spent as a trainer, where he learned the tricks of the trade, where he wasn't so much focusing on recruiting and he wasn't focusing on trying to climb the ranks as a coach, but more focused on learning the ways of developing players, which is really what those guys are mainly about. Less so, you know, some of them are about recruiting players, right? But most of them that I've talked to are so very gifted when it comes to teaching the game and teaching how to play and teaching the fundamentals of the game. So that's the world that Jay Vilai lived in for 2 years, right? So that is something that speaks highly to him. Still, there are a lot of question marks around it. It's a risky hire, but the ceiling is very, very high. Now, let's go to Andre Coleman, which seems like sort of a letdown, right? When you had when you had a look at Emmett Jones or Tyron Carrier and people were really hyping up Emmett Jones, I mean, man, he would have been a great hire for the Longhorns. But Andre Coleman is not a bad coach. In fact, the main thing that I'm looking forward to about Andre Coleman is probably some happy wide receivers, because from what I've heard is that he is well-liked in that wide receiver room. So there's your player coach right there as a wide receiver coach. That's really what you needed out of this hire, is a guy who will make sure that those divas in the wide receiver room are happy.
Well, so let me start off by saying, at first, I had no idea that this was the same Andre Coleman that played in the Super Bowl when I was a kid for the New England Patriots and was running back all those kicks and punts.
Right.
All right, so that's really cool. So Texas went from having two guys in Drew Merringer and Corby Meekins to a guy that played 9 years in the NFL, starred in the Super Bowl. He's got 9 more years of college coaching experience at Youngstown State and at Kansas State. And he coached the guy that's a perennial All-Pro. I don't know if y'all are familiar with Tyler Lockett. All he did was, you know, kill Texas when he was at Kansas State. And he's doing the same thing for the Seahawks.
Also, Isaiah Zuber, who was a pretty decent guy as well.
Yeah, Isaiah Zuber, and also a guy that's on the NFL roster right now, Brian Pringle.
He also has offensive coordinator experience as well, on top of all that.
Exactly. So the way it was explained to me, and we've touched on this in the past, it's out there now, that there were a ton of issues going on in that wide receiver room, right? They felt like they didn't have a coach they could go to in the heat of battle on the sideline for technical advice or somebody that could see the game through their eyes, right? That's no longer an issue, all right? Andre Coleman kills two birds with one stone, pretty much, essentially. He's a guy, one, players like him, they're going to get along with him, okay? Two, he's a guy that's played before. On the sideline now, when we talk, when a guy like Brennan Eagles comes to the sideline and says, hey, coach, he's playing me like this, what's something I can do? Andre Coleman played, he played 9 years in the NFL. He starred in the Super Bowl, played wide receiver. It doesn't get any better than that for those players as far as a guy being able to see things through their eyes. Okay. So Texas killed two birds with one stone. And what it did was now it frees up another position on the coaching staff. That's why you can interview a guy like Frank Oakland and now maybe help Oscar Giles along the defensive line. Andre Coleman's a guy that's got enough experience. He's big enough. He can handle that room on his own. And just real quick, Will, something I noticed too. There was a 13 year gap from when Coleman finished playing to when he started coaching. And I went through it and looked, I'm like, what the heck was he doing? Yeah, well, during this time. So what he was doing from 1999 to 2010, Coleman was the co-founder of New Era Sports Consulting. Okay. And that's an agency that represents, athletes, it represents athletes. So he's pretty much, he's an agent, right? So Will, you know, when anybody knows the career, the field of agency, that's a pretty cutthroat field, right? Guys stabbing each other in the back. If you can't sell yourself to a client, to a player, you're not going to make money. You're not going to live in a profession. He did it for 12 years and started his own thing. Okay. What does that tell you, Will? That tells you one, this guy, he has no problem being scrappy, being cutthroat. He can be nasty when he needs to, but it also tells me he can sell himself. He can sell people. Okay. He can recruit. You can't be an agent if you can't recruit. And I wish I would have saw that before I wrote this article, but what a fascinating background on both Jay Vilai and this guy, Andre Coleman. Like, it's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And the more, and on the surface, it looks like it's a comfort hire. No, there's actually something to these guys, and they both have unique backgrounds and unique stories, and they just need an opportunity. And I understand, with everything, there being some people, there's a narrative out there that, if Coach Herman doesn't win 10 games, again, fire. I don't believe that. I don't subscribe to that. No, with there being a little bit of uncertainty about the future, for Texas to get these two guys that have so much what looks to be upside, as young coaches, are not going to be guys that get hired away, that shouldn't get hired away in the next 2 or 3 years or so. I just think it could be something they end up growing into being huge, huge assets for the program.
Right. I think Jay Vilai really makes up for what you lost, potentially that you lost in Emmett Jones in that DFW area.
Yep.
And what you make up for it with Andre Coleman, right, with that ability to sell himself, is not only that, but his East Texas connection from where he came from Greenville, Texas,
Emmett Jones didn't play in the NFL. Andre Coleman did. He's got experience. He can teach these kids, you would think. He can teach these wide receivers, give them something that they possibly couldn't get from a guy that just simply hasn't played at the level that he has. I just, looking at it, it's really exciting. I would be excited if I was in that wide receiver room when that guy was there.
Yeah, I think what are the cons that you see with Andre Coleman? Are there any potential downsides?
The same ones that come with Vilai. I mean, it's just he's got a much longer track record than Jay does, but it's just the unknown. It's just the unknown. But with Coleman, he's a guy that's been doing it for 9 years. He's got offensive coordinator experience at Kansas State. He coached their wide receivers for 6 years. He's been doing it a lot longer. He's a lot older guy than Vilai. But I think it's just the unknown. Also exciting.
I think the one thing that makes the most unknown is, during all of his time as a wide receiver coach at Kansas State, there was only one guy really who broke out there, which was Tyler Lockett. Isaiah Zuber was maybe the closest to breaking out after that, but still, there wasn't much going on in his position room besides Tyler Lockett. And that's the only thing, is that's the question of his development. Can he come to an offense where you're going to have a lot more throwing and develop guys, like what you've seen with Emmett Jones, where he was able to make guys like Antoine Wesley and who was the other guy?
Did he make those guys, though, or did the system make them?
Yeah, exactly, but that's the question that you're going to be asking for both of these guys, right? How much are they responsible for what they've done, and how much are they responsible for what they haven't done? And that's my question, is how much is Andre Coleman responsible for what he hasn't done outside of Tyler Lockett?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
No, I mean, that's a fair question, but he definitely, just from the experience that he has being a player, from being an agent to being an offensive coordinator, I just think that's a pretty impressive package when you look at it. It's a lot more exciting than what was just in there.
Right.
You know,
oh,
and
yeah.
It's one guy doing it. So I'm
Most upset I am about this hire is that it wasn't done sooner. If you're going to bring in Andre Coleman, why not get rid of Drew Maringer immediately, when you knew that he was an issue last year?
Yeah.
You knew he was an issue last year.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it could be some contractual stuff there or something like that, liability. I'm not sure, but I definitely see what you're saying. But while on the outskirts, it could look like Andre Coleman was a comfort hire because he's been here all year. I think actually he was one of the, just out of the candidates and based on the situation, I think he was really one of the better hires that could have been made, and we didn't even realize it.
Right. And this next hire, another Coleman Hutzler, probably one of the safest hires that they've made, which makes it a pretty exciting hire. Coming from South Carolina, the linebacker coach, a protege is what they called him, under Will Muschamp, and Longhorn fans know what a Will Muschamp defense looks like. You're getting the protege at linebacker under Will Muschamp. He came really highly recommended. Will Muschamp was distraught that he lost him, and he comes in with a lot of special teams experience, and he just has a lot of experience in general. The guys that he has been able to build under him are guys like Sky Moore, Ernest Jones, TJ Brunson. All of them were mid-three-star guys, and all three blew up under Coleman Hutzler. Less so Sky Moore. Sky Moore was really good when he got there, but it was sort of the blow-up that Malik Jefferson had when Tyler Lando got here, where he was good. People knew he was good, but Sky Moore became a first-team All-SEC under Coleman Hutzler. And then you had both TJ Brunson and Ernest Jones blow up to get over, I believe, 80 tackles each during their years at South Carolina. He's proven that he can at least develop some guys and find talent in guys that are underrated. So in Texas, where linebackers are hard to find, that's a good guy to bring into your system.
No, and I don't know much about Coleman Hutzler myself yet. I plan on diving more and learning more about him this weekend and having something on him next Thursday for my piece. But, you know, anytime you hear Southeastern Conference and defense, you know, you automatically think tough. You know, and for a guy that's been working for a guy that's got some Texas ties, a Will Muschamp, you know, he's probably going to be a fiery guy. You know, you talked about his track record with the special teams and things like that. He was a Broyles Award finalist in 2017, and that award goes to the country's and nation's top assistant. So I'm excited about Coleman Hutzler, the name. On the surface, on paper, it looks like a great hire. I'm looking forward to learning more about him next week. But so far, I really do. I personally have been satisfied with the moves that have been made so far. And I'm excited to see how it all comes together in jails this spring.
Yeah, I think, again, that Coleman Hutzler is probably doesn't have an incredibly high ceiling like Jay Valai does, but he has a very, very high floor.
Well, let's be real. He came over here with a co-DC title. He's probably looking to get he's probably looking to move within the next couple of years or so. He's not going to be here long. He doesn't plan to be here long. So he's taking a gamble himself.
I think that he's expecting, you know, he's expecting to really prove himself as a linebacker coach in the Big 12. He's expecting to prove himself just in general with probably better talent than what he had at South Carolina.
Right.
And hopefully Texas fans will get the benefit of him being at Texas. Looking forward to that. Now, let's talk about some of the guys who he could potentially be bringing to Texas with this Texas Elite Day coming up this weekend. And it's really, really big for the Longhorns, bringing in the 2021 class and a few 2020 targets, or really just one big one, on an official visit, who will be attending this Texas Elite Day. But Darius, what is the importance of this Texas Elite Day for this staff?
So what Elite Day is, it replaces the junior days of the past. What you're doing is you send out invites to all the guys who you've targeted early. You've pinpointed early. That stood out to you early in the next class. And what you want to do is get them all together on campus, get them rubbing shoulders and elbows with your coaches, with the staff, with the academic staff, with each other. And you hope that things that they click and that they hit it off a little bit, so that possibly you can get a commitment or two, and then start building that class. But the good thing for Texas is they've already got 7 commits in the class. All 7 will be on campus, and they've already kind of got their foundation built. So now they're gonna let those guys go to work. They're getting their guys around some of the country and state's elite talents. And it's just an opportunity to get to hang out with each other and build relationships. That's all it is. And exciting. The list that have been, some of the guys that have been, that we've been able to confirm so far, is really exciting.
Yeah, and especially important with the new staff hires that the Longhorns have made.
Yep.
Since a lot of the relationships that they have made, that the previous staff made with some of these players, they're starting over. Started from scratch. Yeah. Guys like Jay Valai weren't really looking down here at Texas for some players. You know, Coleman Hutzler wasn't looking in Texas for the linebackers to bring into his system. You still don't really know who your tight end coach is, but hey, Andre Coleman has to start from scratch where Drew Mehringer left off. There were some wide receivers who texted me and were like, hey, who's, you know, what's Andre Coleman like? where what happened to Mehringer? Why did they let him go? And I had to explain. They're like, damn, like, I don't know anything about Texas anymore. Now's the time. Now's the time where you start to build these relationships and you start to get all these really, really highly rated guys, all these guys that really jump off the tape at you, and get them to become comfortable with your staff once again. Mm-hmm. You know, tell them what you're all about. You get one-on-one FaceTime with some of these guys.
And the best part is Texas looks like they're beating everybody to the punch for this cycle. So now 2021 is starting to come into focus. The final signing day is in 2 weeks for the 2020 class. Texas is getting to jump on everyone, getting these guys on campus for the first real official event of the spring season. So it's exciting. Just got confirmation when we started the show that five-star offensive lineman Bryce Foster will be on campus this weekend. He's going to join four-star Texarkana defensive end Landon Jackson, who will also be joined by five-star defensive lineman Tunmise Adeleye from Katie Tompkins. Yeah, who's a teammate of a current Texas quarterback commit, Jalen Milroe.
Whenever I see Tamisier's name, I always think of Tunmis from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yeah, so it's difficult, right? And then, I get it mixed up. But then you'll have guys like Shamar Turner, who's criminally underrated on all the websites right now, Rivals, 247. Shamar's a top 10 player in the state of Texas. He's 6'4", 270 pounds, runs a 4.64. He's a beast. He'll be on campus. And the good news for Longhorn fans, I've got it on good authority. He's like Texas a lot. They're in a good spot for him. So,
Let's go ahead and break down some of these guys in more depth.
Okay.
With some of these big names that are coming in. And let's start off, actually, with Tamisier Adeleye. And what Adeleye. So Longhorn fans really starting to learn what the 2021 class is bringing this cycle. Let's start off with one of the biggest defensive tackles in this class with Tamisier. What do you see when you watch his tape?
First off, when I watch his tape, I see a kid that's got some heavy hands. He's violent. He knows what he's doing. He can get folks off of him in a hurry. He's always got his eyes in the backfield, and he's athletic enough, quick enough to get back there and make plays. He's without a doubt one of the top handful of defensive linemen in the state. Might be the top defensive lineman in the state, and he's one of the top defensive linemen in the country. He recently released a top five that didn't include Texas, but I wouldn't freak out about that. Again, he told me he will be on campus this weekend, and Texas has an ace up their sleeve with their quarterback commit in the class, being his quarterback and friend and teammate in high school. So,
yeah, and especially with them switching to four down linemen.
Switching to the defensive front. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a, it's still a long way to go in this one. It's a long way to go
This one. For sure. For sure. And then the next guy who really is a big name is Landon Jackson, that one that you just talked about. He is probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, defensive lineman in this class in terms of potential. I am a huge fan of what he brings, just his length in his body, but also his explosiveness off the line. He just has so much potential to be one of the best players in the nation. His wingspan is incredibly, long.
It's in excess of 7 feet.
It's crazy.
Feet.
So his first punch gets there super fast. There's potential there. I'm excited to see what he can do coming off of his knee injury. But, his ability that he's shown in the state championships has just been through the roof.
Yeah, for him to come back off of that knee injury, play through the season with the brace on, I thought it was really impressive. He's a guy that's over 6'6". He's 6'6" at least. He's got a wingspan over 7 feet, and he's weighing in the 240-pound range. He's a guy that's going to eventually play his ball in the 270, probably 270, 280 range. Now, he's not a guy that's real flexible, that's able to really bend that corner. He beats opponents with his length, with his ability to see over. He can disrupt passing lanes by getting his hands up, and he's agile enough to make plays in space. But the upside is there with Landon Jackson. He could be a 3-4 outside backer or a 4-3 defensive end. Really huge upside kid. His best ball is ahead of him. I would say right now, he's got offers from everybody, but I think it likely comes down to the in-state schools with Texas A&M. And, Oklahoma's a dark horse there, possibly LSU, but I think he's going to definitely stay in the region with A&M and Texas being the guys that to keep an eye on.
With this four down front, it's going to help out Oscar Giles with bringing in guys like Landon Jackson and Tamezia Adelie and even Shamar Turner, because he can say, hey, we have enough space on the line for all three of y'all. And look at the guys who I've developed while I've been here at a system that mm-hmm. doesn't really feature the defensive linemen. And Shamar Turner, let's get into him, because he's one of the guys who I've been super, super impressed with, yet is so under the radar. It's like Trace Ford at Oklahoma State. Nobody knew who he was until he was sacking your quarterback. He's one of those guys. He just is incredibly fast for throwing on 270 pounds. And he's a guy who will grow into a pretty deadly defensive tackle.
Yeah, so for those that do not know, I do coach at DeSoto High School. I see Shamar every day. I've seen him play every day pretty much for the past 5 years. Folks don't know that he was a running back in middle school, and it's not a situation where, oh, it was just them giving the biggest kid the ball. No, Shamar is athletic. He's got feet. He was making plays. He was cutting back, taking it 70 yards on folks in eighth grade at 6'2", 220 pounds. So he's now, fast forward 3 years now, he's 6'3 and a half, 6'4, 270 pounds, and he still kept his speed and athleticism. Shamar's got the ability to play any position along the front four, along the defensive front. He's a leader. He's got leadership skills. I think Texas, I'm going to give Shamar his moment. I'm not going to try to ruin anything, spoil anything for him. But I think Texas fans do have reason to be confident when he does finally decide to make his decision. He's another kid that he might throw out some national schools, and he's got offers. He's got the offers to go wherever he wants, but I don't think he's going to go too far from home. And this will be this will be his third or fourth time now getting on campus within the last calendar year.
Speaking of defensive linemen, there are two that Texas is looking at in the 2020 class, and one of them has recently tweeted out a tweet that shows that he probably isn't very happy with the new Baylor head coaching hire, Dave Aranda, Princely Mamielin, putting out an emoji of just like uninterested, unexcited, right? So two guys who Texas has been fighting Baylor for, you know, starting to look like they're landing Texas. And then you have that on top of all three of these guys coming into Texas. That's a lot of hype for your defensive lineman room for next year and years to come.
A lot of talent.
So another guy who I'm looking at here is LJ Johnson Jr., who is a guy who recently burst onto the scene. Well, I don't know if he recently.
Not recently. I mean, LJ was a guy that was the newcomer of the year in 17-6A as a sophomore. He ran for almost 1,200 yards and 20 touchdowns. So he had offers from a lot of folks. That was last year. This past season as a junior, Will, he ran for almost 1,900 yards and had 37 touchdowns. And he's a guy that's got offers from everybody. Ohio State, LSU, Alabama, Texas, Oklahoma. He's got offers from everybody. I actually spoke to LJ last night, and I'll have a piece coming out on him tomorrow. And he's a guy that's going to be on campus this weekend. By now, everybody's heard the name Kamar Wheaton, as they should have. I mean, Wheaton's a beast. He's the top back in Texas and in the nation. But if he's the top back in Texas, LJ Johnson is 1B. Okay. He's not, there's a gap between Wheaton, LJ Johnson, and the rest of the class. Okay. But the gap between Wheaton and Johnson is nowhere near as big as it is with Wheaton and everybody else. LJ Johnson's a guy that's 5'10", 5'11". About 205 pounds, ran an electronically verified 4.4240 last spring at the opening as a 15-year-old. Okay, he's maintained that speed. He's still 205 pounds. He's explosive, okay? He'll be on campus. This will be LJ's third or fourth time now getting on campus in Austin. And he's friends with Tunmise and Jalen Monroe, from what he told me last night. So it's going to be great to get those guys together. He's also familiar with linebacker commit Derek Harris. So it's going to be great getting all those guys together. Now, LJ's got some ties to LSU. His family's from Franklin, Louisiana. His dad played ball at LSU, but he's going to be open. He's going to give Texas a chance. And it's great just to get him on campus again.
Yeah, and for those who are wondering, there are going to be four or five different commits on campus this weekend with Jalen Milroe, Jatavion Sanders, Derek Harris, Billy Bowman, and Juan Davis, who we've all talked about. And all had pretty good years, especially Jatavion Sanders. Jalen Milroe had a great year. Derek Harris showed he's a quarterback hunter. All five of those guys have a lot of ties within the state, a lot of friends with these guys who are coming in. and mm-hmm. are going to be some of your top recruiters for this class, which is just going to be loaded. This 2021 class has a lot of talent in it from top to bottom. Maybe not in this next position we're going to talk about, which is the wide receiver room. That's probably where Texas is weakest, which is crazy because usually that is where Texas is strongest. And one of the guys who I am a really big fan of in this class, though, is JoJo Earl from Aledo. And that dude has just been on the radar since, his freshman, sophomore year. He is a super electric slot wide receiver who just goes up and gets the ball. I'm super impressed with what he brings to the table. And getting him to Texas is huge, seeing as right now, from what I've been hearing, is TCU is a team to beat.
Yeah, so at this time a year ago, I would have bet that JoJo ended up at Texas. With the turnover that happened, because he was getting recruited by Maringer, with the turnover that happened and the uncertainty, JoJo released his top five, I believe it was over this weekend, and Texas wasn't included. It consisted of Oklahoma, TCU, Ohio State, and a couple other teams, okay? But I don't think JoJo is a guy that's going to go. He's another guy that I think is going to stay in the region. From what I understand, TCU's done a great job. Malcolm Kelly, Gary Patterson, they've done a great job negatively recruiting the University of Texas. JoJo is a local guy. You know, and for those that have forgotten already, TCU already hit Texas up for the top receiver in the state in the 2020 class when they took Quentin Johnston from them. I've got JoJo Earl rated as a top receiver in 2021 in the state. It would be a shame to see the top receiver in the state go to TCU in consecutive years.
Yeah.
I wouldn't freak out over not making this top five. Super K actually met with JoJo yesterday, and Texas has just as good a chance as anybody. He just couldn't include him in the top five without knowing, everything that was going on. But he's a guy that'll be on campus this weekend, and Texas has some ground to make up, but they're still alive in that one, and he is electric.
That's why this weekend is so important, is getting guys like JoJo Earl, like Tamezia Adelier, comfortable with the staff, comfortable with the turnover that's happening, and comfortable with the new guys who are in there. Guys like the cornerbacks who are going to be coming in, like Hunter Washington and Ishmael Ibrahim, guys who have been mm-hmm. on Texas' radar, who knew Jason Washington, but don't really know who Jay Valai is, like most Texas fans. That's really one of the big reasons, is getting guys like JoJo Earl back on the ship and back in Texas's favor.
And yeah, let me say that it's not a good year at wide receiver. It is still a deep year. I just think it's a year where you've got eight or nine guys that are all around, that'll be around the same tier. I think there are a bunch of mid four star to low four star guys in this class. There's not a true physical standout wide receiver. I think the two top wide receivers right now, in my opinion, are JoJo Earl and Cody Jackson from Richmond Foster, who unfortunately is been committed to Oklahoma for over a year. Same school as CeeDee Lamb. Latrell Neville is a guy that'll be on campus from Fort Bend Hightower this weekend. He's a guy that's similar to a guy like Brennan Eagles from that tall size speed standpoint. And also Kennedale safety JD Coffey, who I've got rated as the top defensive back in the class in state. He's a top safety. Coffey's about 6 foot, about 185 pounds. He's got NFL bloodlines, and he is very high on Texas. If you get a chance, if y'all can get on the site and check out JD Coffey's highlights from this past season, you'll understand what I'm talking about with that kid. He's a ball hawk, and he's a big-time football player. A couple of maybes for the event that I wasn't able to confirm but told me that they were still uncertain. It's Lakeview Centennial running back Kamar Wheaton, and Duncanville offensive lineman / defensive lineman, I guess, from what he played this past year, Savion Bird.
Yeah, getting some more offensive linemen coming into this class after, some leaks that probably the Brockemeyers might not end up at Texas despite what their father is saying, which is, hey, slow down, Texas fans. Let's not read too much into them not coming this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's still not looking like it's going to happen, but getting a guy like Savion Bird on campus, getting guys like Bryce Foster and Hayden Connor back on campus is going to be pretty big.
Texas fans, I'll just say this. The class is so deep, okay? There are so many guys in the class, so many big bodies. Some of these guys that are the highest-rated guys won't end up being the highest-rated guys 3-4 years from now. So I wouldn't get too caught up in the names and the rankings. Everybody in the region, Oklahoma, Texas, even the Aggies, LSU, everybody's going to get their share of top talent from this class. It is the best since I've been paying attention, it's the deepest I've ever seen. And it's been apparent for years now. And it's finally their time. Yeah. And Texas is in a good spot. So hopefully the Longhorns don't lay an egg this season and they can capitalize, because this can be the type of class, the type of talent that the state's producing that could eventually pay off. This is the type of talent that wins national championships, in my opinion. So they've got to do well. They've got to clean up here.
They really do. That really is on Texas to have a good year next year, to be able to bring this class in and secure it while they can. Because if they have a bad year next year, this class is going to be, it's going to be 2017 all over again.
They're going to get raided by the entire country. These kids have shown they will leave the state.
Right.
So they've got to handle their business.
Yeah. Another guy who is going to be there, which is an interesting name to come back to Texas, is Quadarius Davis, a guy who was previously committed to Texas and then decommitted pretty soon after that, is coming back. And Darius, you don't seem as high on Quadarius Davis as most people are, but do you still think that he would be a decent take for the Longhorns? I think he would be a great take for the Longhorns.
No, I mean, he's absolutely a take. I mean, he's a guy that can play inside or outside. I've probably seen Quay Davis more than anybody that's been doing this in this business. I saw him play his final game of this past season from about 10 feet away. I've seen him in a 7-on-7 environment. I've seen him looking at his body. You know, Quay's about 6 foot, you know, maybe a little bit taller. He's already 190, 195 pounds. He's cut up. He's chiseled. I just worry. I don't think his body has room to develop much. And I think he's a good route runner. He's not a great route runner. I just think there are kids with more physical upside than he has. There are some places that rank him in the top 20 overall nationally. I barely rank him. I got him right outside the top 20 in the state. Overall, I think he's a talented kid. He's definitely a take in the class. He's a guy that can be a contributor. But he's a guy that's he's gonna keep you on a roller coaster this entire time. Okay, so I don't think Texas fans. I think Quay Davis is one you should probably check back in November and see what's going on with him. Right. I wouldn't even pay attention to anything he's doing right now.
See how tired you are of him come November.
he's not gonna leave. He's not gonna leave the state. I can't see him leaving the state. So again, if Texas takes care of their business, he's a guy that I think likely ends up back in the fold. He's a talented kid. I just think that there are kids with a little bit more physical upside than he has. But he's a tremendous high school football player.
The one guy who's coming in as an official visit is Isaiah Dunson out of Georgia, a cornerback. They're kind of dipping back into Georgia for their cornerbacks since they've lost so many this cycle. Have you been able to take a look at his tape and see what he's about?
Yeah, Isaiah Dunson looks good to me. Yeah, I'm surprised why he's not committed anywhere. He looks pretty dang good at wide receiver, too. So there's been some questions on the site about Duncanville cornerback Ennis Rakestraw and Isaiah Dunson. Questions about, well, would Texas take both? I don't see why not, especially, I would take both as defensive backs. But if need be, Dunson sure looks good at wide receiver, too. So, no, get both of those guys in the class if they can get it done. And I think you're very happy with where you ended up.
Yeah, Dunson seems like a pretty solid guy in space, whether that is going after the ball, mm-hmm. whether that is tackling mm-hmm. in space. The dude is super fast. He's able to he seems like he has a good football mind from his tape.
Yeah, and he's not small.
No, he's not.
So apparently he's down to Ole Miss in Texas. Texas sealed the deal.
Ole Miss has got an entirely new staff in there. Texas, this is one that they should take out.
Bag man doesn't change.
That's
bag man don't go nowhere.
Okay, hold on.
Bag man house remains the same.
I got a question for you. Since you came in the year after the national championship, let's go ahead and get into this with Manny Ocho talking about those $1,000 per interception stuff. I want to.
Hey, yeah, Manny got himself in some trouble. Manny's always been a talker. You see him on social media today. You see how quickly he's backtracking. They blew his phone up. But, man, I wasn't paying attention to that. I understand what Manny's doing. He's been on the rise. It's part of his job. It's to say controversial things. He needs as much attention as possible to continue, you know, building his career. So I wouldn't freak out about that, but I couldn't believe he said that. I didn't think it was, again, people got in contact with him with good reason. So I don't have to expound too much upon that.
Did you ever get an offer like that? Hey, we'll give you $1,000 per touchdown.
You know, I didn't really. There was no. Again, Texas is a little bit different, okay, than the other folks. Okay, I've been places where the game is played. I'm not gonna say any names. There are places that use the casino to their advantage very well. Those chips in there, but I'll say this: at any place. I'll say this about a place like Texas. One, you got to be playing. You got to be contributing. Okay. And if you're taking care of business on the field, like any other place, I mean,
they're going to take care of you.
You know where they're going to take care of you if you're in a tight spot or something like that. But again, Texas is nothing like most of these other places. And I wish they would be. That way you can nip some of this stuff in the bud from folks coming into your state taking your players. But, yeah, Texas doesn't do it, man.
And they really got to start playing the game. They really do. Like,
hey, I mean, what's going to happen? What is the NCAA going to do? Clearly, they're showing they're not going to do anything. But
they're going to give Missouri the death penalty again.
Missouri. They're not going to do anything to Texas. But
You're paying players. Missouri, the death penalty for you.
Right. Yeah, they'll go suspend. Yeah, Texas State, ban Texas State for 3 years, but. No, Texas doesn't. I mean, like with anywhere, you know, you're ever in a tough spot. You know, there are ways around everything.
Yeah, that's true.
But
I
personally, that ain't had nothing to do with me. They wasn't nobody paying me. Hell, I was barely getting in on kickoff. So,
Darius, since you were a coach, obviously watching a lot of these players play, of the Texas commits, who do you think had the best year?
2021, who had the best season individually? Of the current commits, I would say you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't go check out Billy Bowman from this past season.
I completely agree. Most people I would think would say Jatavion Sanders, but Billy Bowman is probably one of the most explosive athletes that Texas has committed in either class, and yeah. I'm super excited about what he can bring.
Yeah, Jatavion's the bell cow. I mean, for sure. You just don't see big guys like that can move like that. Jatavion could probably start at tight end for Texas as a freshman or play defensive end, whatever he wants to do. But Billy Bowman's a guy that, yeah, talking about explosive, he's a guy that I think as a true freshman could come in and challenge Deshaun Jameson for the punt return duties. And he's a guy that could legitimately come in and play wide receiver or play defensive back, whatever he wants to do, whatever the staff wants him to do. He's talented enough to do it, you know. And if he was 6 foot or more, he would be illegal. He'd be a no doubt for sure a 5-star guy. But he's big time. I love Billy Bowman. He yeah. loves him from Texas.
And he loves himself. He loves yeah, himself yeah. himself.
Yeah, but hey, most of those. Hopefully, he plays DB. Well, he's gonna play DB or receiver. So hey, that ego is gonna be there. But he's my interaction with him, he's a good kid. You know, I like him a lot. But he's a heck of a talent on the football field.
Yeah. So I think that's where we're getting it off, y'all. This has been 4th and 5, your Longhorn Nation podcast. Again, I've been your host, Will Baizer, and you guys can find me on Twitter at WILLBAIZER. And my man, DT, where can we find you?
Hey, y'all can find me on Twitter as well, DTerrell, DTERRELL05. Give me a shout, check in, see what's going on. I'm talking about Texas sports. Talking about the Miles, I'm talking about the Cowboys 90% of the time. So hit me up. You want to argue, I'm here for it.
And I just got real fast before we ended off here on Andre Coleman, kind of tying the show, throwing it back in a loop, kind of nice bow. A guy who I really trust in the wide receiver circles just kind of texted me back when I asked him, hey, what are your thoughts on Andre Coleman? He said he's an upgrade. I've spoken to him a few times, and he has taken the position by storm.
Yeah,
that is some high praise. That is some very high praise. So, Longhorn fans, you have that to look forward to. But on that note, you guys can find us on the Hornscast channel and other shows like this and our past episodes on Hornscast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Podbean, anywhere you guys can find a podcast, you'll find us. Thank you all for listening, and we will see y'all next week. Hook 'em.
Hook 'em.